I have asked several of our church members to self-reflect on their personal spiritual journey and share what inspirations and revelations, dreams and visions that they have received through the power of the Holy Spirit in deepening their maturity as a disciple of Christ. Now, why is it important that we intentionally humble ourselves before the Lord each day and make ourselves submissive to His perfecting of ourselves in living a life of holiness? Because if we do not, the world, Satan, and our sin nature will certainly teach us to develop worldly attributes such as pride, arrogance, rebellious behavior that only leads to God imposing His judgment upon us. Now, such was the crisis state of affairs for God's people and their ungodly behavior during the time of Joel, son of Pethuel. In order for God to get Israel's attention, He caused droughts throughout the land of Judah and sent apocalyptic agricultural ruin with a locust plague, much in the form of a military attack. In response to all the devastation, Joel recorded the sounds of weeping, of wailing, of lamenting and mourning and dismay, leading to the wearing of sackcloths and fasting, because they finally woke up and knew that the day of the Lord is near. God's message to His people through the prophet Joel was to the need to repent. In Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it states this. Listen to this. I pray for this church that we really hear these two verses today. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping, with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious. He's merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Isn't that a beautiful promise? If we do the same as a church, know this well. The Lord loves to restore to those who turn from their sins and repent and obey His commands. If we sincerely obey, let's read in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, another of God's promises that He will do for the church today. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even upon the men's servants and the maid servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and I will give portent in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Let me pause there, put my finger there. The Lord is here from His first coming, but the Lord is coming again and He will judge. This is not past tense. Take heed, church. Verse 32. And it shall come to pass that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. The Lord's unceasing blessings be upon each and every single one of us in the reading of His Word. If we truly listen to what the Lord instructs for us to do each day and obey His commands, God promises. Why do we so flippantly gloss over promises? My goodness, I wish the Lord would just tattoo every single promise He's made on my body, because I got to tell you, I am so quick to forget. I would just love that. I mean, put it on Post-its, put it on your refrigerators, on your mirror, in your car, everywhere you go. Because God's promises are new and fresh every single day and available to each and every single one of us if we would just claim it and believe it and trust Him. If we truly listen to what the Lord's instructions are for us today and each and every day, and we obey His commands, He promises to deliver us from His judgment, pour out His Spirit upon us. And then what else? Do you know what it says in Joel chapter 3? It says that He'll bless you. Why do we avoid that? I don't get that. I do get it. It's pride. It's arrogance. It's rebellious behavior. We not only choke that out in our own life, but in order for us to feel better, we love seeing it being choked out in other people's lives. Isn't that sick and sad? Now, before you dismiss God's message for us today as simply an Old Testament literature, the Apostle Peter quotes Joel in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, as God ushers His Holy Spirit into the lives of all who believe in Jesus as the Messiah. In other words, God's message to His people between 835 to 796 BC in the time of Joel is as applicable today as ever before. Jesus is coming again to judge the living and the dead, so we better be prepared as ever maturing disciples of Christ. Ever maturing. If somebody says, "Oh, I'm a mature disciple of Christ," that's a sign that tells me, well, I think you better go back and learn some more. Because a person who truly believes that they are always having to go to the well in order to grow each day as a disciple of Christ, they realize the older they get, the more they know, the less they know. And that's why they have to depend upon God and the Holy Spirit in their life. In what ways can we prepare ourselves? Well, by learning to put on the full armor of God and practicing the spiritual disciplines God outlined in Scriptures and revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. I had a conversation with George O'Brien the other day where we were talking about this passage in Acts chapter 2, and George was very quick to remind me that he was told, "You disciples, you have to stay where you're at. Don't move. Don't move, don't leave. Because the work that I have for you, and I have for you today, First Baptist Church of Piedmont, is dependent upon you receiving the Holy Spirit." Applying the spiritual disciplines of study, Jessica Few will share how this has strengthened God's promise of giving us living hope. John Scott has been studying the discipline of prayer and how God deepened his sense of peace, followed by the testimony of Crystal Selfridge in applying meditation to deepen her joy, and Tiffany Lister exercising the inward discipline of fasting to express God's love in and through her life. If I may have those come up, and let's bring them up, and they're going to give their testimonies in the order that's in the bulletin.
Please listen as God gives you the message from them and their testimonials.
Good morning. The spiritual discipline I chose is Bible study and how it relates to the Advent theme of hope. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of Scripture, might have hope." One purpose of the Scriptures is to help us learn endurance and give us encouragement so we can have hope. The prophet Jeremiah wrote the poetic book of Lamentations, and even in the midst of destruction, Jeremiah tells us, "Hope is not a wishful thought, but a confident expectation in the Lord." The Bible gives us hope because the God of hope recorded it for us. There's an old saying that goes, "A closed mouth don't get fed." We don't give God the opportunity to fuel our hope when we don't open our Bibles to see what He has to say. We can't apply His words to our hearts if we don't know what they are. Intentional personal Bible study builds and strengthens our faith about who God is and what His promises are to us. This helps us develop a hope that expects God to answer. The Word is the sword of the Spirit, and we can have hope because of what it tells us. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of the hope of the world, and we can hold on to that hope because we know He will return for us. I'll close with one of my favorite passages, which is Lamentations 3, 25-31. This is from the Message translation. "God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. When life is heavy and hard to take, wait for hope to appear. Don't run from trouble, take it full face. The worst is never the worst. Why? Because the Master won't ever walk out and fail to return." May God refill your hope each time you study His Word, and through your example, may others find hope too.
So this one's going to be a little different. I was told to make a prayer journal and reflect on it. But this is testimonials, and so I decided to give a heartfelt testimonial from the bottom of my heart that has changed my life. And this is recent, actually. I was told to start the prayer journal as soon as I was asked, but this happened a little bit before, so I hope that's all right.
That's okay.
So I think you guys saw me and my dad walk up here a little bit ago, but if you didn't meet him, that was my dad. So, and that's a testimonial you guys saw unfold right in front of your guys' eyes. So, a little bit of background, I'm not going to go too much into it. He was, he's a prison offender, and has a lot of mental issues, very unstable. So I was really scared, anxious, scared, fearful, all these things, because, well, it's the first time I'm meeting him in my life. So I was in my car, and I was going to wait till I got home to start praying, but instead I couldn't wait. So I was praying in the car for some guidance, and something hit me. So I decided to ask upon God and make a deal. That's what I did. Long story short, I made a deal. I asked Him that I should trade all my good luck for this week. That's non-foundational, so no car wrecks or expulsions from school. But I traded all my good luck that week for one good day with my father. Mm. And in the Bible, Genesis 32, Jacob wrestles with God for a blessing. And also in 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah bargains with the Lord to have a child. So I wouldn't be surprised that He actually accepted it. And He has accepted this. So as soon as I said amen, I was on the road. I hit every single red light on my way home. An animal ran in front of my car, and I had to slam on brakes. And when I got home, my mom was mad, and I got in the middle of the crossfire. So, you know, already it wasn't a good start, but I would say it's a really good start because, well, even though all those bad things was happening, that was telling me that God was working right in front of me. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as I said amen, it was immediately working, and that right there gave me a lot of peace, I would say. And it's not just that. The rest of the week went off worse, so I was late to school twice. I got a lot of homework crammed on me all of a sudden, and some events canceled, and my friends didn't want to hang out with me for the whole week. That's just a few examples, so there was a lot more. But each time something bad happened, I thank God each time, because each time something bad happened, it seemed like a coincidence, because everything, it wasn't trivial or anything. And I wasn't focusing on the bad because I don't focus on the bad all the time. I'm an optimistic person. And it made me thank God each time. And even though that was a really bad week, I would say that's one of the best weeks of my life. And when I went to meet my dad, as you saw here, I had a really good day with him, and it was really nice. And he didn't act out, and I didn't act out, and we had a good experience with each other. And that brought me a lot of peace, knowing that God does listen, and that you can talk to God and have a personal relationship with Him. Even to the point where you can make a trade-off with Him, for Him to work in your life right in front of you. And to see that happen relieved all that stress, anxiety, and fear from me. And that's a true testimonial because I saw God work right in front of me.
Amen.
Thank you.
My testimony for this was on joy and meditation. And for me, finding joy was through listening and observation and being able to ask for help. And I will say that my church family came through with projects that we had with serving Sue Cleveland and just being able to see what was needed and filling the need for the Sue Cleveland families and the students that were there and listening to what was needed and getting joy through the fellowship of so many of you has brought so much joy to know that we're not alone, that there are people here who are always willing to help. And that has been a tremendous, tremendous joy in my life to know that I can ask and that you will come and you're here. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that, what that joy means in filling my heart. And so I will say thank you to all of you. And you don't know the joy that it brought to our Sue Cleveland families as well. Just the joy of the children when they were getting just those treat bags. How excited they were to get that. The staff for their gifts was amazing. And it was so wonderful for everybody that came through that helped to do this. Of just seeing an opportunity and coming through to help. So thank you for filling their lives and fulfilling mine.
Amen. Amen. I went first. Okay. Well, when we first started this and Preacher Ron came and asked us to speak on things when he was going through the list, he got to me and he said fasting. And I'm not going to lie, at first I thought he was telling me to talk about joy of fasting. And I'm like, there is no joy in that. So I'm like, there is no way I can get up here and speak on the joy of fasting. But it was the love of fasting, or the love that has to do with fasting. And I was like, how? So I was reading the books, reading the Bible, reading the verses on fasting. I was like, I don't get it. You know, I've been in church all my life. And being raised in church, you think you know it all when you're older. And you come and find out you're a baby. And Amen. You don't know anything. So I tried the fasting. I'm not going to lie. I failed, guys. I failed so bad. Fasting is a discipline. You have to give something that you love away, which is food. And there's all types of fasting. It's not just about food. It's different things that you love that you give up. One of the things that a lot of people share with me is this fun. It's like a security blanket. I did take time off from my phone, and I've realized I got a lot more done during the day. My head was clearer. I was able to get things done for Christmas that normally I couldn't get done without it. So the fasting, I would not eat two meals. I wouldn't eat breakfast and lunch. When Joel got home, we did eat dinner because Joel was not a part of the fasting. So we did eat dinner, but this is horrible. I don't like public speaking. But in it, you're showing God love by giving up things that you love. And the discipline is following through what he says in his word. And I was going to read the verses on fasting, but I'll be honest with you, it all went over my head. So, but that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all so very much for sharing. I will tell you, my sermon time seemed to get better and better when I sat down just to hear their testimonies. As your pastor for this now going on almost a year and a half, I will tell you the greatest joy for a pastor is to see the aha moment where you're taking biblical concepts and you're applying it to your life. And you know what? The Tiffany and John and Crystal and Sherry, there was no failures in that. There was absolutely no failures in all those attempts, because you're not giving up anything. You're actually laying at the feet and surrendering as an act of worship, ongoing worship. So Tiffany, thank you very much. Crystal, thank you for sharing. And Jessica, thank you for doing that. I'd almost like to ask that it gets in the next newsletter their testimonies, which I think would be wonderful. And John, thank you for your testimony and trusting the Lord in those, the big things as well as the little things. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. We are Jesus' disciples today. We have received the same Holy Spirit and his power. We are commanded by Jesus to be his witnesses in Piedmont, in Greenville County, in the neighboring counties, and even the remotest parts of the earth. Do we want to suffer the consequences of God's people during the time of Joel if we choose to be arrogant and rebellious? Or are we going to obey? George O'Brien would like to share his testimony as it relates to Jesus as the true and great light and experiencing the same type of visions that Peter proclaimed in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. George?
Well, Pastor Ron gave me 2 minutes, and I said, I'll try to get it done in a minute and 58 seconds, but we'll see. Jesus is the light of the world. If there are any visions and if there are any dreams that God puts in people's minds and hearts, it's going to be about Jesus. And one of the things that we did in our Sunday school class this year is we studied prayer and the power of prayer and the fact that Jesus told us that if we just have as much faith as a grain of mustard, a mustard seed, which is really, really small, you can move a mountain. Well, you know, and we're to pray believing. So I actually created a God, you know, only God can accomplish this prayer list. Okay. And this is like the prayer journal, John. Okay. So it's written down and I pray these, okay, every day. Okay. and also note when God's answering these prayers. Please try. It is amazing. I'm not joking. It is amazing. Let me just give you one example. I'll do two quickies after that. Number one, and this is far away, was that I prayed that by the end of the year, I started this prayer in early October, by the end of the year, 1 million Muslims would receive Jesus. Okay? Mm-hmm. Would receive Jesus. Be converted. Guess how many get converted, I found out after I've been praying that prayer, okay? Guess how many actually get converted per year as far as the Muslims are saying, because they don't want their followers to become Christians. 6.5 million. 6.5 million this year alone, okay? So I'm writing that down, okay? Guess how they are receiving Jesus or finding out the good news? Dreams and visions. Every one of them. Thousands upon thousands, and they tell other Muslims that they dreamed, and in their dream they see Jesus, this man in a white robe, and they know that it's Jesus, and he speaks to them. Okay, now you know they believe in Jesus, but only as a prophet. Okay, but they come to believe in him as their Savior and as their Lord. These are Muslims. Okay, so that was one. Number two. Okay. I prayed that by July the 4th next year that at the First Baptist Church of Piedmont there would be 100 new members, okay? Make room, because there are going to be 100 new members. If you haven't already noticed, we've had at least 8 newcomers come, okay? I've sat back here with some, okay? We have one just very recently who said she came and she said that she wants to start to become actively involved. She just started here. She wants to become actively involved. I'm not taking any of the credit for this. It's God. If you pray believing, God will perform these miracles. Okay? Another point. I've prayed that 1,000 people here in Piedmont, new people in Piedmont, would hear the good news of Jesus being preached. Okay? Not too long ago at a union service that we had, okay, we prayed and there was a sermon about this community and about God reaching in and bringing us all together. And that in fact, and when it seems to be dark, in fact, it's not. And there's a huge amount of hope. So get ready. Okay. There are going to be 1,000 people or more. God usually goes 10 times further. Oh, I should have mentioned I've increased it from 1 million Muslims to 10 million Muslims now. Okay. It's true, and God's going to do it. Okay, and one last thing. Okay, God knows that we're falling a little bit short on our giving, okay, meaning what we need in order to be able to accomplish these things that we want to accomplish. We need you members, okay, to contribute and all. But one last item in prayer is $125,000. You notice I didn't say in cents, but it's $125,000 extra new money to come to the First Baptist Church this year. So that we can use every penny of it for God's glory. Amen. Okay? For God's glory, not for us. Okay? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless every one of you. God bless us all. He loves us. Thank you.
I can tell you right now, these testimonies that you heard, you can look at it and realize these are ones that are not prideful, but are humble. These are ones that are not rebellious, but they have a contrite heart. These are ones that are not arrogant. They are the ones that are submissive to the Lord and to one another. For us to be able to accomplish our mission here at First Baptist Church, proclaiming the gospel to my dying breath, I will preach the proclaiming of the gospel and going out and witnessing in the highways and byways. And I want you to come with me and with George and the outreach group. Get involved in those.
Amen.
And then also, as we submit to the Holy Spirit in allowing Him to help us become more and more mature disciples of Christ, as the Holy Spirit makes disciples here at our church, and then truly learning to serve one another. You cannot biblically serve one another if you're prideful, arrogant, and have a rebellious behavior. As we begin the new year, the Lord will lead us into developing our outward and our corporate spiritual disciplines. In order to help having opportunities of practical applications, I will be facilitating a spiritual renewal forum beginning Tuesday, January 18th, from 6:15 to 7:15, wherein everyone is invited to discuss the work of the Holy Spirit and how to live a more abundant, Spirit-filled life. I hope you will plan to leave the locus in your life behind, receive God's deliverance from your sins, and embrace the blessings He wants to pour out on those who follow His ways. May this season of Advent give you great comfort, wrapped in God's hope, love, peace, and joy. As an expression of our hope and thankfulness of God's love and peace, as we finished up this time of Advent and are going through the time of Epiphany, let us rejoice with indescribable and exalted joy, because the joy of the Lord is and will always be our strength. And take every opportunity to tell the joy to the world around us, to prepare the way of the Lord, for as George talked about, and each of our wonderful testimonies, again, thank you all. I know you were speaking to the Lord, and He is very thankful and glorified. The true and great light has appeared. Jesus the Christ has come. The Lord is here.